You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's September 3rd, 2026, and welcome to episode 198 of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. I'm your host, John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you 15 minutes of video game impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek. Thank you for tuning in to the program today. On this week's episode, I'm going to be talking about my most anticipated games of the fall. First, though, let's take a look at the news from this week. PlayStation's attempts to rip up the goodwill and player loyalty that they've built up over the last decade or so continued this week. Coming out of Gamescom, it appears that many in the games industry are upset and were expressing their displeasure with Sony's decision to eliminate physical copies of PlayStation games starting in 2028. The first word that I heard about came from Digital Foundry's John Linneman, who spoke on their podcast about the chatter that he had heard around the show, saying, quote, "They were largely very upset. A lot of these companies see a lot of return, in fact, a majority through physical sales. The industry side of things is not positive, and there seems to be a lot of resentment for what Sony's doing." He went on to say that, you know, obviously the big partners and big AAA studios do not care, which makes sense considering how many of, you know, smaller studios really push their physical editions and their special editions. And he thinks that many of them are going to put their efforts into supporting the Switch 2 moving forward, which, you know, also makes sense considering the Switch 2, you know, is very new still. And so you've got at least another 5 to 7 years of physical game support on the Nintendo side of things. This sentiment was backed up by Gene Park of the Washington Post, who shared the story on Twitter and said, quote, "I'm glad more people are confirming these are not just rumors." And to add fuel to this simmering flame, Sony sent out emails to all PlayStation owners last week to remind them that, quote, "When you purchase or download a digital product from the PlayStation Store, you buy a personal license to use digital products for private use." And GameFile reports that in response to a lawsuit filed against them in June that claimed that the language on the PlayStation Store was misleading, Sony stated, "In the digital age, it is not plausible to allege that reasonable consumers believed they were obtaining ownership of a digital game." So to be clear, their messaging is A, we are going all digital in the future. B, you do not own any of the products that you purchase digitally. And C, if you believe that you own it, you're a fool. Now, I'm no public relations expert, but I do feel like some people might take issue with this approach. It's September, which means that we are entering what is historically the busiest time of the year for new releases. And that seems especially true this year as everyone tries to get their game out in advance of GTA 6 in November. So it's a very busy couple of months, and I figured I would share my most anticipated games of the fall, in no particular order. First off is Marvel's Wolverine from Insomniac Games, arriving September 15th. I do admit to being a bit lukewarm on this game from the beginning. I think the visual design of this game is pretty bland, especially by Insomniac standards, and I would love to see them be able to stretch their creative muscles again one day. But on the other hand, I do really love Marvel characters. And if there's one thing that you can say about an Insomniac game is that they are always going to be a ton of fun to play. So even if it kind of looks like, you know, every other Sony first party game from a distance, I'm betting it's going to be fun as hell to tear and slash your way through dozens of thugs. Then on September 24th is Control Resonant from Remedy. This sequel to 2019's Control puts players in control of Dylan Faden, brother of Jesse, who was the star of the first game. After years of being asleep inside of the Federal Bureau of Control, Dylan wakes up to find reality twisting out of control, and Jesse's missing. The introduction of some new RPG-type elements, a more open world to explore, and a more melee-focused combat system. This game really kind of seems to offer up some new gameplay twists while still delivering on that same kind of Twilight Zone meets X-Files weirdness that I loved so much about the original game. And speaking of weirdness, also on September 24th is Konami's Silent Hill Townfall. The Silent Hill Renaissance continues with this very different interpretation, which is being developed by Screenburn in collaboration with Annapurna Interactive. The game is set in a small Scottish town in the 1990s and focuses much more on stealth and scares. Combat is treated much more as a last resort, and your resources are very limited, so you're going to want to avoid the creatures as much as you possibly can. It's also played in a first-person perspective, which will, I think, only amp up the creepiness, and it kind of reminds me of the underrated Silent Hill 4, The Room. I'm slightly nervous about the rapid pace of new Silent Hill releases, but as long as I think they keep handing them off to new studios who are putting their own unique spin on things, you know, I think that could keep things from getting stale. Next is Ace Combat 8 Wings of Thieve from Bandai Namco, which arrives on October 2nd. I used to play a lot of the Ace Combat games back in the day. You know, the story never really knocked my socks off, but the dogfights were amazing and super fun to play. I haven't played one in a bit, though. But now that I have myself one of those, like, fancy pants Turtle Beach flight sticks, and it's the 30th anniversary of the series, it seems like a good time to jump back in. And boy, these games sure have gotten purdy since I last played. The director of this game promises much larger maps to give players a greater sense of freedom to fly wherever you want, and they're using a new system that not only creates more realistic weather conditions, but also the smoke and the contrails coming from the enemy planes. So this one has got me very excited. And you all know what a huge Gears fan I am. And on October 6th, we get Gears of War E-Day from the Coalition, who are hoping to recapture some of the magic that made the original trilogy so good and so popular. They're doing this by putting players back into the boots of Marcus Fenix and Dom, setting it 14 years before the first game during the initial attack by the Locusts, and by really leaning into the darker, more horror-like vibes of the original game. It's also built in Unreal Engine 5 to be a graphical showcase, and freshens up the feel of the game with improved movement and controls. In a stacked fall, this might be my most anticipated game. And finally, a little bit of a wild card pick for me, Planet Zoo 2 on October 13th from Frontier Developments. I really liked the first Planet Zoo, and this sequel looks to improve things in every imaginable way. On top of the huge leap in graphics, I mean, and this game looks very, very good. They've added things like fresh and saltwater aquariums, which is really cool. Walkthrough aviaries for birds, and wildlife reserves where you can care for animals in more wide open and natural areas without so much human interaction. It looks like it could be really my next, chilling on a weekend, Sunday morning kind of game obsession. So there are lots and lots of amazing games this fall, a little something for everyone. And I really hope that, you know, they all get a shot at succeeding with so many games releasing in such a short period of time. You know, sometimes some great games can get kind of lost in the mix. So best of luck to all of them. Housekeeping before we go today. There will not be a new episode of the show next week. Midlife Side Quest will return on Thursday, September 17th, with episode 199, before hitting our big 200th episode at the end of the month, which is super, super exciting. I've got some fun stuff in mind for that show. It should be a good time. I am taking next week off because tomorrow morning, my family is hitting the road to drive my oldest child to his first year of college. We're taking a few days to drive down there and see some of the country before, you know, getting him settled in, and then we will fly back alone without him. I gotta say, it is such a bizarre mixture of emotions to be so incredibly proud of him, so amazed at the human that he's become, and exciting to see what his future holds, while also feeling a sadness unlike anything I've ever felt, maybe. My kids are my life. They are my reason for being. They bring me a joy that I never knew existed in this world. And the realization that I won't be seeing my son every day and sitting down with him at dinner and talking about whatever cool movie or game is coming out, or, you know, bitching about politics together. That's tough. That's hard. That's hard to come to terms with. But my job as a dad has always been to set my kids up for success, to give them the skills and the tools to make their way through life. And I am very, very, very proud to see that both of my kids have the two qualities that I most hoped that I could instill in them. One, a strong sense of right and wrong, of justice and equality, a desire to stand up for those who need help, and an understanding that everybody deserves respect, dignity, and to be treated equally. And I see them, I see that in them every day. And second is a deep sense of curiosity, a desire to understand how the world works, and to see and visit as much of it as possible, and to experience different cultures and meet different people, all the people that make this world awesome. And the world is so much bigger than our little corner of it, and going out and seeing it is one of the greatest things that you can do in your entire life. And I think with those two things ingrained in them, that they'll be set up to lead amazing lives. I never went to college. You know, hell, I didn't even finish high school. You know, after dropping out pretty young, I went back and I got my GED, and I consider myself lucky that I have managed to carve out a pretty awesome life despite those early, you know, missteps or challenges. So I am very proud and excited to see Charlie have the opportunity to follow his dreams. As the old saying goes, the future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. Thank you for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. Until next time, I'm John Wall. Have a great rest of your week, and be kind to